today a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
This is WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. The show is the Big 80s, but I'm going to stop right here at the Big 80s. I'm going to give you a Clash of the Titans, two of the biggest stars of the 80s, Michael Jackson and E.T. And I'm going to give you a show that I haven't done here on WMFO in a couple of years. And here's the good news. I'm bringing it back for the fall, everybody. It's story time with Chris Earle. Here is the E.T. storybook, narrated by Michael Jackson from 1982. Kick back, relax, get yourself a cocoa, put your feet up. It's E.T., narrated by Michael Jackson. It's story time for the next half hour here on the Big 80s.
Sky, a ship was descending, the hull glowing with soft light, as if a piece of the moon had fallen. The hatch opened and the crew came out. Odd little beings, moving quietly through the leaves, gathering, gathering. A blackberry bush, a rose, a tiny cedar tree. When suddenly, man came. One of the little beings was cut off, trapped in the trees, separated from his ship. He ran as fast as his short legs would carry him. His chest glowing red, a signal to the crew that he needed help. His ship was ahead, glowing through the branches. He stumbled towards it, but the hatch was closing and the crew was leaving. The ship lifted off, like the moon slowly rising, then soared away, a comet swallowed by the night. Creature's heart light faded. He was alone. 3 million light years from home. The lights of the city twinkled in the valley below the little being. The friendliest light was coming from a kitchen window at a boy named Elliot's house. The big guys playing inside made Elliot wait out front for their pizza delivery. Out back, the creature crawled into the yard and hid in a tool shed.
Harvey? Harvey, is that you, boy?
Elliot looking for his dog in the backyard, heard strange noises coming from the tool shed. He picked up his baseball and he threw it in. Whatever was in there whipped it right back.
Mom, Mom, there's some out there. It's in the tool shed. They're throwing a ball at me. Don't nobody go out there.
Elliot fell asleep that night with all kinds of strange dreams in his head. And the squashy little guy from outer space came creeping back into the garden as quietly as he could. But those funny feet of his tripped him up in a garbage can. Elliot heard it and came running out. He chased whatever it was behind the house, but he wasn't sure that he really wanted to catch up. Suddenly it stopped and turned. Next day, Elliot went into the woods. He laid a trail of little candies, one piece after another, and then went back home. E.T. crawled from the bushes. We all know curiosity killed the cat. But he was too old to change now. He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious. The tastiest thing he'd ever eaten in the whole universe.
It's not that we don't believe you, honey.
Well, it was real, I swear.
Maybe it was an iguana.
It was no iguana.
Maybe a... you know how they say there are alligators in the sewers?
Alligators in the sewers.
All we're trying to say is... maybe you just probably imagined it.
I couldn't have imagined it.
Elliot had a hunch that this might be the night. So he waited outside in an old chair. And sure enough, this strange creature appeared. Someone from another world. Elliot's heart almost stopped. He was just as scared as Elliot. But he had to hang in there. After all, he had to eat. He had to live. So he followed Elliot with the candy into the house and up the stairs. Friends found each other across a thousand universes and fell asleep. Next day,
do you talk? You know, talk. Me, human. Boy, Elliot. 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 These are toys. These are little men. This is Greedo. And then this is Hammerhead. See, this is Walrus Man. And then this is Snaggletooth. And this is Lando Calrissian. See? And this is Boba Fett. And look, they can even have wars.
But how do you share the greatest secret in the world?
Now, swear it. The most excellent promise you can make. Swear as my only brother on our lives.
Don't sit so heavy, I swear.
And, close your eyes.
Okay, they're closed.
Okay, swear it one more time. I have absolute...
You have absolute power! Yes!
What he saw blew his mind. But Elliot was hoping that his little sister would handle the situation better. And what do you do with something as wild as this weird squashy little guy with a head shaped like an eggplant?
I'm keeping him.
What is it?
He won't hurt you, Gertie. We're not gonna hurt you.
But some other people are looking for E.T. also. Tall shadows with flashlights, keys, and heavy shoes. And they want to keep him, too. Meanwhile, Elliot, Michael, and Gertie brought their new friend a potted flower as a gift.
We are here. Where are you from? I don't like his feet. Lonely feet, you little twerp. He's trying to tell us something. What's he doing? What's happening?
With the point of his finger, E.T.'s magical powers raised 5 balls up into the air and floated them there above everybody's head.
Elliot.
Then E.T. quietly retired in the closet with his flower pot, leaving Elliot, Michael, and Gertie to go off to school.
Explain school to higher intelligence.
Hey, Elliot, where's your goblin?
Shut up. Did he come back?
Well, did he?
Yeah, he came back. But he's not a goblin. He's a spaceman.
He was from the other side of the universe. But he'd figured out how to open Elliot's refrigerator. And he found a can of something that looked pretty good. Beer. To him, it seemed perfectly harmless. Meanwhile, on the other side of town, in Elliot's biology class,
in the actual frog dissection, and you will find many similarities.
Elliot found one. The frog reminded him of E.T. And all the frogs got out of there. Out the window, out the door, and down the road. At home, E.T. found a newspaper, and the comic strip really caught his eye. There it was. A spaceman had built a communicator to phone home. Then Gertie came home to watch her favorite TV show. When something amazing happened.
But B is for boy with a big.
It's a bee. Good.
And banjo and birdie and
good.
And that wasn't all he learned to say. When Elliot came home, E.T. had a surprise for him.
Elliot.
I taught him how to talk now. He can talk now.
Elliot.
E.T., can you say that? Can you say E.T.? E.T.
E.T. E.T., E.T., E.T.
And he had one more thing to say.
I taught him that too.
Something very, very important. Something that the whole world would someday soon remember.
E.T. Phone home.
My God, he's talking.
Oh.
E.T. phone home?
E.T.
phone home.
But some people were listening in on their own phone.
E.T.
built his own communicator out of the Fuzz Buster, some bobby pins, a knife and fork, and the UHF tuner from the TV set.
Oh, Elliot. He doesn't look too good anymore.
Don't say that. We're fine.
While Mom was reading Gertie a bedtime story, Elliot cut his finger on a mean-looking saw blade.
Ouch!
It was poison.
Ouch!
I drank it to save my life. Tink, dear Tink, are you dying?
Ouch!
E.T.'s finger lit up, just like his heart, and the mysterious light healed Elliot's cut.
Do you believe in fairies? Say quick that you believe.
I do.
If you believe, clap your hands.
Halloween night. Elliot and Michael dressed E.T. in a sheet, like a ghost.
Ready.
Ah, you look great!
Thank you.
And they took him out on the street. And guess who he saw? A familiar friend from a galaxy far away.
Boom. Be back 1 hour after sunset, no later.
Try as fast as I can, Mike.
Elliot rolled to the forest with E.T. in the basket of his bicycle. E.T. thought the ride was too slow and bouncy.
It's too bumpy. We'll have to walk from here! E.T.!
So he raised that magic finger of his and gave them a lift. Treetops, high as the birds can fly, and higher! Across the great silver moon they flew, beautiful and free! E.T. and Elliot, soaring in the air like birds. Wonderful.
Don't crash, please.
Then, out in the lonely forest, E.T. set up his communicator and pointed it at the stars. His strange signal beamed itself out into that place in the sky where night is forever.
It's working! It's working! You did it! It's working! We have to go now, E.T. We're so late already.
But nobody had returned E.T.'s phone call to the stars. Back at Elliot's house, the net was closing in. Science had discovered his hideout in the closet upstairs. That night, Elliot and his friend slept in the forest. At dawn, when he woke up, E.T. was gone. Elliot, sick with fever, returned home for help.
You gotta find him, Mike.
Where is he?
In the forest. The bald spot. You gotta find him.
Elliot! found the little guy, face down in a stream. His body gray all over, gray as ash. Michael gently carried E.T. back to the safety of their home. They snuck him upstairs and laid him down on the bathroom floor. Now was the time to tell Mom.
Mom, won't you come with me?
What is it?
Mary, just come with me.
Michael, what?
Mom, remember the goblin?
Michael, what are you talking about?
Just swear the most excellent promise you can make.
Michael.
She couldn't believe what she saw.
That's terrific.
Mom. Her hand went limp. The coffee spilled from her cup.
You're sick. I think we're dying.
Michael. Mom, it's okay.
Downstairs.
He's not gonna hurt you, Mom.
He's not gonna hurt you.
Michael, Mom. Get her downstairs!
The man from the moon! The man from the moon!
Sealed in white protective spacesuits, the military, the government, scientists and doctors invaded Elliot's house. They had zeroed in on E.T. and turned the place into a laboratory and a hospital. A huge plastic envelope came down, covering the entire house, and medical teams moved in on the little guy.
Write anything down? Say it has the ability to manipulate its own environment.
He's smart. He communicates through Elliot.
What does all this mean?
Elliot thinks its thoughts.
No, Elliot. Elliot feels his feelings.
They hooked him up to all kinds of machines, but he was fading like a star at morning.
He's scaring him!
He's scaring
him! Leave him alone, I can take care of him. E.T. Elliot.
He's speaking, he's talking.
E.T. Stay with me. Please stay together. I'll be right here. I'll be right here. Stay.
But E.T. was going where no one could follow. His starfire was out. And he was as cold as the moon.
The creature's pressure is bottoming out. His complexes are slow and widening.
All right, I'm calling. What time is it?
E.T. was gone.
15 hours, 36 minutes. Okay. Let's pack him in ice.
So they placed E.T. in a coffin of ice, but left Elliot alone with him. Because Elliot was the one he'd come to across the great ocean of time.
Every day. Luigi. I love you.
Then a miracle. Elliot noticed E.T.'s wilted flower was moving. A light opened up in E.T.'s heart, growing brighter and brighter, from orange to yellow to white.
E.T. phone home.
The little guy was all worked up, and Elliot had to shut him up so no one would know he was alive.
Elliot, why don't you come with me?
No.
Come on.
No. No.
It's all right.
No.
And Elliot turned on the tears and faked them all out.
Would you like the flowers?
Michael and Elliot had a plan. The scientists put E.T. into a medical van. They didn't even notice it when the guy snuck aboard.
You? I'm driving.
Open the door, son.
There's a guy out here. What do I do?
Well, what are you waiting for? Let's go!
I've never driven forward before!
Michael screamed to his friends.
Get the bikes. Meet us at the playground at the top of the hill.
Let's do it!
So they did it. They stole E.T. out from under everybody's nose and carried him off on their bikes. E.T. was riding in Elliot's basket, bouncing up and down again, with the world at their heels. But Elliot and his partners could ride. The police chased them through the streets, but the kids knew the alleys.
This is Unit 302. We've cut the kids off.
Let's split up.
Hey!
We made it!
That's what they thought. In came the roadblock. Cars and men. Police and guns. The net closed once more. E.T. and his friends had run out of time.
Whoa!
And up they went. E.T. and his pals. Up over the roadblock. Up into the sky. Wheeling over the rooftops. Sailing over the valleys. Higher and higher. Woohoo! E.T. and his pals.
Tell me when it's over.
There it was, the most beautiful thing in the whole world. The ancient spaceship coming slowly down. And it was time to say goodbye.
No goodbye.
Be good.
Yes.
Thank you.
His home was far beyond the Milky Way, out past the far farthest star we see, where only the great ships of space can roam. Would they ever see him again? Where would he be?
I'll be right here.
Feeling of sadness and joy filled the air as they watched E.T. approach the ship that would take him home. The hatch was open. The crew was waiting. E.T. looked at his friends one last time, picked up his flower pot, and walked into the ship. The hatch closed. The ship lifted off, up into the sky, trailing a rainbow. E.T.'s rainbow. Look for it! Look for it! Look!
So there you go, everybody. Story time with Chris Earle. It's the E.T. storybook narrated by Michael Jackson. Two titans from the 80s, E.T. and Michael Jackson. That came out in 1982. Quincy Jones produced it. It actually came out before the Thriller album. And I guess there was a problem. They actually had a lawsuit. And MCA, who was the one who created the E.T., the extraterrestrial album, the storybook here, they had to pull it off the shelves because the people that did Thriller, Epic Records and CBS, ended up suing MCA to take off that album. So that album is hard to find. It gets a couple of grand. It was released only on vinyl, and it gets a couple of grand if you see it on eBay every now and then. But I brought it just to you for something special for this last big 80s program here on WMFO in Medford. I'm going to bring story time back for the fall. That's where you're going to hear some stories, these old book and records and read-alongs, and I'll be reading some stuff myself. So in the fall schedule, look for story time with Chris Earle. I'm going to play one more story for you after a couple more songs. I'm going to play some Police. I'm going to play some Roxy Music, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you a storybook from a movie about a guy that learns karate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to give you one more story here on the Big 80s. A little bit of story time. Maybe I'll play another couple hits for you. We'll see what happens in the 9 o'clock hour. I think I'm going to go up until 9 o'clock tonight. We will see what happens. But I'm going to give you one more story tonight since that E.T. story was so great. YouTube came out with Cobra Kai last year, all 10 episodes. Great little show, and was based on a movie called The Karate Kid. So I thought, why not a read-along of The Karate Kid here on The Big 80s. Enjoy. Story time with Chris Earle on WMFO.
The Rainbow Theater presents The Karate Kid. The Empty Hand. You can read along with me in your book. You'll know it's time to turn the page when you hear this. Let's begin now. Daniel LaRusso was unhappy about leaving all his friends behind in New Jersey and coming to live in California. But things seemed to be looking up when he was invited to a beach party and noticed a pretty girl who seemed to be aware of him. Before he could get to know her, a gang of older boys who called themselves the Cobras arrived on motorcycles. Their leader tried to take the girl's radio.
Give me my radio!
She protested, and Daniel went to her aid.
Give it back now!
A fight developed. Daniel fancied himself as a karate expert, but he was no match for the older boy and was soon on the ground listening to the jeers of the Cobras. The next day, Daniel was on the school playing field, a black eye concealed behind his sunglasses, when the girl called to him.
Hi, big guy.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, your eye!
Don't worry. It looks worse than it feels. Believe me.
Yeah, I hope so. Listen, I never got a chance to thank you.
Oh, no, that was nothing. Just sorry about your radio.
Well, I'm more sorry about your eye. Guess you should have just given it to him.
Why? It wasn't his, right?
Yeah, it wasn't his.
Hey, yeah, we think alike already.
They're calling me. I gotta go.
I'll see ya.
Bye.
Hey, you got a name?
Allie with an I. What's your name?
Daniel with an L.
Allie was definitely a girl he wanted to be friends with. Maybe California wasn't such a bad place after all. But the Cobra Gang had other ideas and constantly picked on him, making his school life a misery. He decided he must improve his karate and went to a karate school in town to see if there was any chance of enrolling. The sensei, or teacher, at the school was an ex-army man. Daniel listened as he fiercely indoctrinated his class.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, right?
No, sensei!
Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
What is the way here?
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir!
Daniel watched, fascinated, as they went through their karate routines, but was horrified when the teacher called for someone named Johnny Lawrence to lead the class. It was the boy he had fought with on the beach, and the class included the rest of his Cobra gang. Daniel crept out of the school dismayed, but he was noticed, and as he cycled home that night, he was pursued by the Cobras on their motorcycles and forced off the road. His bicycle was bent and broken. He carried it home and angrily threw it in the trash container.
I hate this bike! I hate this stupid bike!
His mother had just driven back from work.
Daniel, what's the matter? Why do you throw your bike away?
Because I felt like it, Ma.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're hurt. Would you tell me what's going on here?
What you want to hear, Ma?
The truth.
No, you don't want to hear the truth. All you want to hear is how great it is out here. Well, maybe it's great for you, but it's the pits for me. I hate this place. I just want to go home.
Listen to me. I cannot help you unless you tell me what's wrong.
I gotta take karate. That's it.
You took karate?
No, not at the Y. A good school.
Fighting doesn't solve anything.
Oh, well, neither do palm trees. I didn't want to come out here. Nobody asked me. I want to go home.
You're right. You should have been asked. Let's go inside and talk it over. What about your bike?
It's safer to take a bus. Now, let's go home. Why can't we just go home and forget this place?
They went inside, unaware that the scene had been watched by Mr. Miyagi, the Okinawan maintenance man. After school the next day, Daniel met up with Allie.
We're going to the arcade, Daniel. Want to come?
Yeah, sure. Sounds great to me.
Just then, Daniel caught sight of Johnny and his Cobras coming towards them. He turned away.
I just remembered. I forgot something. So I'll catch up with you guys in a minute, okay?
Daniel, you don't have to run away.
I'm not running away from anything.
Hey, look, we've got to deal with this.
You'll deal with things your way. I'll deal with them mine, okay? I'll see ya. I gotta go.
When he reached home, he found his bicycle on the step in full working order. It could have been repaired only by Mr. Miyagi, so Daniel went along to thank him. He found him trimming miniature trees.
Did you fix my bike?
Hi.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I really appreciate that. Are those real trees?
You like see? Come inside.
Thanks. How did they get so small?
I train. Clip here, tie there.
Where'd you learn that? Japan?
Okinawa.
Did you go to school for this?
Father teach.
Was he a gardener?
Fisherman.
These trees are really beautiful.
Come, you try.
I don't want to mess it up.
Sit down. Close eye. Trust me. Concentrate. Think only tree. Make a perfect picture down to last pine needle. Wipe your mind clean of everything but tree. Nothing exists in whole world. Only tree. Got it? Remember picture?
Yeah.
make picture.
How do I know it's the right one?
If come from inside of you, always right one.
The next day at school, everyone but Daniel was occupied in preparations for the Halloween dance. He avoided Allie. In the evening, he dropped in at Mr. Miyagi's workshop.
Ah, Daniel-san. Happy Halloween. How's school today? Big party tonight, huh? What's the matter? You're not going?
No.
How come?
I'm not into dancing that much. I don't feel like it anyway.
Ah, Daniel-san. You too much by self. Not good.
I'm not by myself. I'm with you.
To make honey, young bee need young flower. Not old prune.
I haven't got a costume anyway.
You have costume, you go.
Yeah, maybe. If I went as the Invisible Man.
Invisible Man?
Yeah, you know, so nobody would see me.
Daniel went to the Halloween party completely hidden inside a shower curtain. But Allie knew it must be him and joined him behind his screen.
Hey, I've never danced in a shower before.
A friend of mine made it for me. Isn't it great?
So where have you been hiding?
No, I haven't been hiding.
I haven't seen you around.
Have you been looking?
Sort of.
Sort of?
I thought maybe you're still angry with me.
Why?
Well, because of what I said last time I saw you.
Oh, now, I've been thinking a lot about that.
No, I know. But I should really just learn to mind my own business.
No, I think you're right. About facing up to things. I just kind of forgot for a while. Thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome. It's just that he thinks he can do whatever he wants to people.
Who?
Johnny. I'd love to see him get a dose of his own medicine.
Well, you know, it goes around. It goes around.
I'd love to be there when it does.
Me too.
Say, do you want to go outside?
You talked me into it.
Daniel drew back his shower curtain and was hit by an egg thrown by someone dressed as a chicken. He had to go to the washroom to clean up. There he saw Johnny go into one of the toilets for a secret smoke. He rigged up a hose pipe and drenched Johnny with water.
Hey! Hey, what?
Johnny was furious, and he and the rest of the Cobras, all dressed as skeletons, chased Daniel out of the hall. They cornered him against a fence and all pitched into him using their vicious karate techniques. Daniel was helpless on the ground, but they still kept at him when, with a cry, Mr. Miyagi leapt the fence and laid about him. His karate was so good that, although the Cobras outnumbered him, they fled, leaving him to carry Daniel back to his house to patch up his bruises. Daniel came to and tried to remove the damp cloth on his forehead. Miyagi stopped him.
Leave on.
It stinks. What is it?
Smell bad. Heal good.
How come you didn't tell me that you do karate?
You didn't ask.
Where'd you learn it from?
Father.
I thought he was a fisherman.
In Okinawa, all Miyagi know two things, fish and karate. Karate come from China, 16th century, called te, hand. Much later, Miyagi ancestor called karate, empty hand.
I always thought it came from Buddhist temples and stuff like that.
You see too much TV.
That's what my mother tells me. Hey, have you ever taught anyone?
No.
Well, would you?
It depends.
On what?
Reason.
As revenge?
Danielson, you look revenge. That way start by digging two grave.
Well, at least I'll have company, right?
Fighting always last answer to problem. Your friend, all karate student, eh? That problem.
No, problem is getting my ass kicked every other day. That's the problem.
Because boys have bad attitude. Karate for defense only.
That's not what these guys are taught.
I can see. No such thing as bad student, only bad teacher. Teachers say, student do.
Oh, great. That solves everything for me. I just go down to the school and straighten it out with the teacher. No problem.
Now, use head for something other than target.
I was only kidding about that.
Why kidding?
Because I get killed if I show up there.
Get killed anyway.
Would you go with me?
No, can.
Why? You said it was a good idea, right?
For you, good idea. For me, good idea. No get involved.
Oh, thanks for nothing then, man.
Danielson.
What?
Okay, I go.
Oh, excellent, Miss Miyagi. That's just great. Say, what kind of belt do you have?
Canvas, you like. In Okinawa, belt mean no need rope to hold up pants.
That's great.
Danielson, karate here in head, here in heart, never here in stomach. You understand?
I think so.
Good night, Danielson.
Good night, Miss Miyagi. Tomorrow morning?
10 o'clock.
The next morning, Mr. Miyagi and Daniel went to the karate school. They heard the sensei addressing the class.
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here on the street, in competition, a man confronts you, he is the enemy. An enemy deserves no mercy.
He noticed Daniel and Miyagi.
Class, we have visitors. What are you here for, old man?
Come ask, leave boy alone.
What's the matter? The boy can't take care of his own problems?
1-to-1 problem, yes. 5-to-1 problem, far too much, ask anyone.
Is that what's bothering you? The odds? Well, we can fix that.
No more fighting.
This is a karate dojo, not a knitting class. You don't come into my dojo and drop a challenge and leave, old man.
Too much advantage. Your dojo.
Name a place.
Tournament.
You got real nerve, old man. But I think we can accommodate you.
Ask one more small request. Ask. Leave boy alone to train.
All right.
No one touches the prima donna until the tournament. But if he don't show up, then it's open season on him and you.
In the street outside, Daniel is amazed.
I can't believe this! What you've got me into? You said you were gonna make things better for me.
Miyagi smiled.
I did. I just saved you 2 months of beating. 2 months to teach you real karate.
Thank you.
Yeah.